Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A quick look at the AL East standings showing three teams that are good to great, two that are lousy and crap. And the Red Sox have allowed 18 runs in the first two games of a four-game series against a team in that second silo. And back they slide yet again. Another game behind Tampa Bay, another game behind New York, even behind the likes of Cleveland and Oakland, each of whom have now won 8 out of 10. A 10-4 loss to Toronto on Tuesday. We're talking about it now on Sox Daily.
It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. It's your Daily Sox Podcast. Oh, it's your Daily Sox Podcast. And here's your host, Josh Lewis.
Boy, I tell you, among Narnia's infinite well of possibilities, did anyone think the Sox would somehow be 3-4 at home this year against Toronto? Runs allowed to the .228 batting average, second fewest runs in baseball Blue Jays at Fenway. You ready for this? 7, 6, 5, 8, 6, 8, and 10. They also gave up a couple sixes and a 10 on the road to these guys this year, too. The run totals fashioned by Toronto, their last several games not against the Red Sox, 1-2-1-3-1. What is this? How is this a thing? It is a thing, and it's a problem, because if the narrative's going to be the Sox can't beat the elite, they can only beat the also-rans, they better actually beat the also-rans. They did not do that Tuesday night in Andrew Kashner's Red Sox debut. They got smoked 10-4, and in fact, they are 10 in back of the Yankees again. Josh Lewin with you. This was game number 95 of the year. And heading in, here's a little state of the Sox for you. I'll give you some good news. They had been 7-3 in their last 10, 17-9 in their last 26. And if you go all the way back to April 29th, how about 40-26 for .606 ball, which all sounds pretty good, right? The Red Sox lead the majors in batting average. That's a true thing, .272. And in runs scored, they have homered in 15 of their last 16 games now, 28 home runs total. They're the only American League team with five players with as many as 15 home runs. Bogaerts is up to 21 now. Martinez, 19. Devers, 17. Chavis, 16. Vasquez, 15. And Mookie's got 13. Mitch Moreland, if he ever plays again, has got 13. So they're coming in hot. They've got a strikeout-happy pitching staff. Red Sox pitchers lead the majors in strikeouts and in strikeouts per nine innings. They've had, 55 10-strikeout games. That's four more than any other team. All of that gets you two games back for the second wild card. That's it. Tuesday night, the Sox right away anyway went ahead on a Xander Bogaerts home run up over the monster, beyond the seats and into the street. Xander has now joined Ted Williams as the only Red Sox player ever to get one hit, one run batted in, one run scored in eight games in a row. Ted actually did that 11 games in a row in 1950. No major league player has done this, the eight games in a row thing, since Nolan Arenado in 2015, and he did that in zero gravity. It was 1-0 Boston, but then it quickly got away. And one more good little note here. The Red Sox, at least, have started making a habit of ambushing opposing starters right out of the chute. And they're looking at least one first inning run, 12 of their last 15 games. They started the year not doing that at all, but at least now they're getting leads early. They're just not holding them. Mookie would eventually get his 83rd run of the year in this game. It's 11 straight games with a run scored now. First Red Sox to do that since Kevin Youkilis 13 years ago. It was a three-hit night for Mookie and a hitting streak now at eight games. He's hit .500 during this streak. His on-base percentage for the month of July is about .510. And even his outs are hard now. Mookie drilled a slider into the triangle, but it went for a long out. It was a three-hit night for Xander, but only three other hits total. The Jays ended up with 14, which brings us to Andrew Cashner. And no, you never do get a second chance to make a first impression, if the dandruff commercials of 25 years ago taught us anything. He was pitching for the first time in 9 days, so maybe there was some rust and maybe some nerves pitching as a Red Sox now. Remember, this is a guy who's never played for a winning team, and this is his 11th year in the majors. He ended up going 5 innings, 8 hits allowed, 6 runs, 5 earned, only 2 walks, but only 2 strikeouts, 2 home runs allowed. He hadn't allowed any in his previous 5 starts combined. Teoscar Hernandez hit a 3-run shot. Justin Smoke got him. Cashner at least looking pretty solid with that beard. He has not shaved since the end of the 2016 season. And that was actually a very distinct look that he cultivated back in 2012 after the Cubs had traded him to San Diego. He was forced to shave that bad boy in July of 16 when the Padres dealt him to the Marlins. They had the no facial hair policy at that time under Mattingly. But anyway, now he's got the beard thing. He's kind of a country boy demeanor. His Orioles teammates had a dress like Cashner road trip when they all went to Texas to play the Rangers a month ago. And, you know, mullets and cowboy hats, that's always a good look. Anyway, this is a guy that was drafted 19th overall in 2008, ahead of guys like Gerrit Cole and Lance Lynn, but he's 55-83 all-time, 4.01 ERA now after this loss, 5 earned runs allowed. That matched his total from his last 5 starts in Baltimore. He had been pitching his very best, did not exactly step out on the good foot as a Red Sox, and the Red Sox pitching staff now overall, 4.64 ERA, that is 17th in Major League Baseball. There was some tough luck in this game, and it was a close game until the end. J.D. Martinez hit 4 line drives in this game, went 0-for-4. Michael Chavis did have 1 hit, none of them, the hit itself, none of the at-bats ending up with a home run, but he's got 16 of those. That's the most of any American League rookie, 52 runs batted in as number one among rookies, but you know what, he's hitting .258. That's 5 points above the AL average. He's striking out a ton, so there's still some work to do there. He is one of only 6 Red Sox ever to hit more than 15 home runs in a debut season. We'll invoke Ted Williams' name again. He strolled in 1939 and had 31 right away. Boomer Scott had 27 his first year. Tony Conigliaro, some of you might know, had 24. Ellis Burks showed up with 20 in 1987, so those are some of the other guys on the list. Not a great night at the plate for Devers, but he was due for an off night. The guy is slugging .800 in his last 14 games. He's already tied his career high in runs batted in with 66. But not a lot of hitting in this one, really, other than Xander and Mookie. And any chances the Sox had of rallying late were dashed when Heath Hembree and Ryan Weber combined to give up 4 runs in the top of the ninth. Hembree had had an ERA of under 1 over the last 2.5 months, but just did not have it. The velocity was down Tuesday night. 3 runs charged to him. He got nobody out in this one, so his ERA ballooned back up to 3.4. And by the way, if you haven't heard this one, Ryan Brazier is back in AAA now, trying to get his stuff back together. The young flamethrower Darwin's in Hernandez summoned for his 3rd trip to Boston. And the hope is Brazier gets out the iron, smooths things out ASAP. He was supposed to be a major part of things this year. Actually still leads the team in saves right now, but he will be bragging about that as a Pawtucket Red Sox. 10-4 final, and Alex Cora meeting the media after the game, trying to put a happy face on it, but this was just not a keeper of a ballgame.
We didn't keep the ball in the ballpark, and that's very important. The changeup to Oscar, he got to it, then the breaking ball to Smoke after we came back. Made some adjustment throughout the outing, but I think, you know, the changeup wasn't as effective as before, and they made some adjustments, and they stay on it and put good swings on it.
Overall, you know, how surprising is the continued struggles of the pitching staff from top to bottom?
You know, we were talking about it. It seems like, you know, obviously there's other teams that have swung the bat well against us, but it seems like they're putting good at-bats, you know, guys that are not having great years, are putting good at-bats against us. You know, you look at the numbers and not average, but the other stuff, you know, and he's like, you know, it's surprising, you know. So we just, you know, seems like we don't execute, and when we don't, they take advantage of it. Either off-speed pitches or fastballs, spoiling pitches, you know, from day one against us, it's been, you know, they've been all over us, you know, regardless of the result of the game. They're like, it's good at-bats after good at-bats. You know, we can be up 8-0 and they keep fighting it, or they can add on like tonight. You know, it's something that I know they're better offensively. You know, there's some guys over there that have made some adjustments in the minor leagues and had got here. The other guys that, you know, they got called up, you know, and they control the strike zone and put quality at-bats, but it's kind of like, you know, either, you know, we have to make adjustments with them. It's something that, you know, it has to start tomorrow, because the at-bats are great since day one.
Now, what was your impressions of Darwinson kind of in that new role?
Yeah, that was good. I mean, throws and sliders, good fastball. You know, it's something, it's a spot there that we got to keep the game two runs, because we feel we can score runs. We can do it. You have some good fastballs up in the zone. The slider was good in the beginning. You know, he walked smoke, but then he made some pitches against Dale Oscar, so it was a good first day for him.
Was the sixth inning particularly frustrating, top of the sixth, for them to get those two runs right back, given that you guys seemed like you'd
yeah, I mean, they hit a home run, and then Galvis got the hit. JT does a good job, makes a good pitch against the Oscar, and we got him out, and we throw the ball away. and then the wild pitch. It's just, you know, they have to earn it, and we just gave it to them. You know, the home run, okay, whatever. We turn a page, and we have men at first with one out. And we're not able to hold the score right there, and it's frustrating, in a sense that, you know, you come back, and we had traffic, you know, we get back to the game, and that happens, and the way it happens, the second run, that's kind of like, oof, you know, that's a tough one. But then after that, we put good at bats, we had men on, and we didn't get the big hit.
Hembree's velocity was down again tonight. Is he all right physically, or is there any level of concern?
Yeah, we were just talking about it. It seems like he's not been able to throw the fastball up either. And we'll check with him to see how he feels. But, yeah, I mean, that's something, that velocity is down, and also the location is not where usually it is.
The decision to hit Travis for Holt, is that mainly just because that's going to be Travis's role, trying to hit against lefties?
And the guy on the mound, yeah, that's a tough guy right there. And we feel that it's a good matchup. You know, he gets a count to 2-0 and then takes a pitch, follows up some pitches, and, you know, he got the slider there. But, you know, he worked his the count to his advantage, and he wasn't able to pull the trigger on the 2-0 count. But I feel like there's going to be certain matchups that will go with him. You know, we got Marco after that. They only have one lefty. We feel comfortable with Marco late in games, too, against any righties. You saw the at-bat. So there's certain days that we'll stay with Brock or Marco if he's starting, but others, you know, in that situation, first and third, two outs with that guy, yeah, we'll go with Travis.
All right, so there's what you got from the skipper. Thought you'd like to hear from Cashner, too. We don't have a lot of tape from Andrew Cashner. Obviously, he was disappointed with how it went. Been a lot of that going around in the Red Sox rotation. When you think about it, you know, they've solidified things. If Cashner is who we think he is, okay, you got your number five starter. And with Eduardo Rodriguez, you got your number four starter. But your 1, 2, and 3, I'll give you Price as your number two starter is fine. But you still got problems at 1 and 3, because Sale is not Sale and Porcello is not Porcello. But Cashner, anyway, here's what he had to say after his effort.
Didn't really command my off-speed very well. Didn't really do a lot of things well, but I felt like it kept us in the game. It, you know, wasn't very good, you know, especially after we scored those runs and tie the game back up and give up the leadoff homer. I'd say that's probably the toughest blow of the game.
You faced these guys a few times this year, but it seems like in the success you had against them previously, they made some adjustments. Did it look like that from you on the mound as well?
Yeah, I think they made some adjustments, but I also had a long layoff, so it's like I just felt like I was more rusty than anything. I don't feel like I commanded my fastball like I normally do.
You must attribute it to the layoff. Do you think that it was like, was it partly like adrenaline of, you know, new different environment?
I mean, it's still the same game for me. It's just You know, I think it was just more rusty. I was out of my routine. I'm looking forward to get back in the routine this week. But I think I felt like they did make an adjustment on me. So, but that's what good teams do.
How would you characterize, you know, the experience, like, you know, setting aside results, right? Like, you know, just experience going to Fenway Park, warming up in the home bullpen.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, fans have been great to me so far since I've been here. I mean, it's a great hitting team, so I feel like if you can keep the game close, I mean, you got a chance every night.
All right, there he is, the former TCU Horned Frog. First time we've had a chance to hear him. And he will get another opportunity coming up on this next road trip. He'll get a lot more opportunities. He is in this rotation for good. Coming up Wednesday, it's Eduardo Rodriguez, who had 10 strikeouts last time out in 7 innings of work, gave up just a run. That was against the Dodgers. I mean, that was really good stuff. And the Sox are now 10-0 this year when Erod pitches at least 6 innings. For his career, that number is 32-4. He's getting all kinds of run support this year, about 7.6 runs a game, I think it is, and that's the most of any pitcher in the major leagues. Last 9 starts, 6-1, 3.44 ERA. So you match that up against Aaron Sanchez. What has happened to Aaron Sanchez for Toronto? 3-13, 6.22, 58 walks already, a whip of 1.8. If you can't beat Sanchez with this lineup at Fenway, it may be time to take a knee. And the Sox have won 14 of Erod's last 17 starts. So on paper, you bet the farm on Boston. But the way this season's been going, I would not advise that, unless you really hate farming and you're looking for a pivot anyway. So, again, sorry it's not a better podcast news-wise, but I hope you were entertained. It was a 10-4 final on Mookie Betts bobblehead night. The Mookster came through with 3 hits, but the pitching staff was just not good. Hopefully Erod has the good stuff on Wednesday night. Time to get going. Literally, I gotta go. I'm Josh. See ya. Bye.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.